Hello and welcome to CI News on the 28th of February. The committee tasked with scrutinising Kim Leadbeater's assisted suicide bill has reconvened after a week's break, but has continued its trajectory of rejecting new safeguards. In a few moments, our director Kieran Kelly will give his assessment. But first...
The fact is that under this bill, very explicitly through the rejection of these, I think, very plainly written amendments, the fact is that under this bill, you can be depressed and suicidal and still be regarded as having capacity to have an assisted death. You can be very marginalised, you can be a prisoner, you can be homeless and still be regarded as eligible. You can have been influenced or you can have been encouraged by others and still be eligible. You can do it because you feel a burden. You don't need to be in any kind of pain. You don't need to be in the tiny proportion of cases that palliative care can't help. And as the Honourable Lady accepted in the last session of the committee, you can seek an assisted death for the sole reason of saving your family money. And you would be granted an assisted death on those grounds.
That was Danny Kruger MP summarising who would be eligible for assisted suicide under Kim Leadbeater's Terminally Ill Adults End of Life Bill. Mr. Kruger, who opposes the bill, was later forced to respond to the extraordinary claim from Simon Ofer that less detail is safer than more.
And the more we write, the more likely it is it will be less safe for patients. So yeah. I would keep it very simple.
Yeah. I really want someone to explain this point to me. How can it be make it more unsafe for patients to state explicitly what the safeguards are? How can it possibly make it harder or more dangerous if we specify what, as the Honourable Gentleman says, is good practice currently?
Numerous safeguards were debated and rejected by the committee, including one which would require anyone seeking assisted suicide to first speak to a palliative care specialist. But Government Minister Stephen Kinnock said this would increase demand for palliative care specialists, and the amendment failed. An amendment to explicitly prevent assisted suicide on the basis of anorexia was another that was voted down. Prior to the decision, Naz Shah encouraged MPs not to ignore their duty to protect people.
Let's say, for example, there'd be only one or two assisted deaths of anorexia if this bill became law without my amendment. I would hope that every single member of this committee agrees with me when I say that even one such death would be unacceptable. Perhaps someone would say, oh, but we must not make the perfect the enemy of the good. And that has been said through this debate, or sentiments have been expressed in reflection of that very sentence. That's a good argument to make when we're trying to persuade our teenagers to finish their homework for school, etc. It doesn't wash for me when we're trying to create a bill with the strongest possible safeguards for vulnerable adults.
Kieran, this bill and the way it's been handled is really worrying.
Yeah, you're right, Jenny. It's been a remarkable week, even for the low standards that we've already seen for this bill. I think everybody probably already knows that the MPs on the committee have been stacked for those in favour of the bill, that the witnesses that were called to give evidence have been heavily skewed towards those in favour of assisted suicide. But even knowing all of that, observers have been astonished by what's been happening. So far, every single proposal to introduce even the mildest safeguard has been rejected, pretty much all by a 15-8 vote margin. So exemptions for the homeless rejected, protections for those with eating disorders rejected, prohibition on encouraging or manipulating someone into assisted suicide rejected, the requirement that there must be reasonable certainty for the six-month diagnosis rejected, a requirement for capacity to include the ability to understand key details rejected, and as we just saw in one of those clips, the requirement to meet a palliative care consultant also rejected. And that's just some of them, because there's more as well. And these are very mild, very reasonable amendments, but clearly for the MPs sitting on this committee, they're too much. And I think many of the MPs who are looking on will be unimpressed, and that includes some who will have voted for the bill at second reading. And so we need to keep working and keep praying for those concerns to turn into votes against this bill when it comes up again at third reading.
Thanks, Kieran. That's really helpful. In other news, Scotland's First Minister has reiterated his support for allowing men who claim to be women to use ladies' toilets and changing rooms. John Swinney's government's guidance states that its employees may use the facilities they feel most comfortable with, without any need to have changed their legal sex. It comes despite a recent warning from the Equality and Human Rights Commission that the law clearly emphasises the importance of separate facilities for men and women. Staying in Scotland, the MSP behind its abortion censorship zones has confirmed that residents could be criminalised for certain modes of prayer inside their own homes. During an interview on BBC Scotcast, Gillian Mackay MSP admitted that the Abortion Services Act's ban on pro-life witness includes private dwellings within a 200-metre radius of an abortion centre.
If you're standing at a window with your hands together in front of your face in that classic kind of, you know, that classic image of prayer, if you're standing at a window so people can see you, then could it be interpreted as an offence?
That then depends on who's passing the window and whether anybody can
actually... So he's
not
wrong, is he, J.D. Vance?
No,
he's not wrong.
He is wrong because if... I don't know anyone that can pray loudly or performatively enough to be seen from outside their own house.
And finally, a government-commissioned review has called for all degrading and violent online pornography to be banned. Baroness Gabby Burton, who led the review, said that content which is illegal to buy on the high street should also be illegal online.
This is about getting rid of harmful, abusive pornography that so many young people, children have been able to watch. Hopefully that will get better with age verification. But we have to accept, we've had 10 years really, of young people watching some of this stuff. And also, to be perfectly honest, whether you're 15 or 55, there is a great deal of content that just should not be allowed.
The Christian Institute's director, Kieran Kelly, welcomed proposals, including a more significant role for the British Board of Film Classification and steps to restrict websites' revenue streams. We and others have been calling for these precise measures for years. They are clear steps that I believe will make a real difference, and I'm pleased that Lady Burton is seeking to take them forward. To explore these stories and much more, visit our website, christian.org.uk, and be sure to subscribe and follow us across our social media channels. Thank you for watching. Have a blessed weekend.